Well, good Tuesday morning, everyone. It is the 7th of July. And my message today is titled, Denial Opens the Door to a Room Full of Lies. I think there's this room in my head, and I really want it to remain locked. Because being in that room where it happened is certainly a great song in the musical Hamilton, and it's also the title of what it's going to be a huge bestseller by John Bolton. Both talk about the room where it happened. And that room that Bolton refers to is, of course, the Oval Office. Did you know it wasn't built until 1909? And the main double pedestal desk that is so famous for our presidents to sit behind was made from oak timbers of the British ship, the HMS Resolute. And it was actually a gift from Queen Victoria to President Rutherford B. Hayes in 1880. But I digress. And you know, that is the room where so much has happened. One can only imagine the conversations and decisions made in that room. Some of them were taped, so it wasn't left up to our imagination. But that's another story. Decisions that have changed the course of our world. And like entering two world wars. But enough American history. Let's get down to the room where shit happens. And that is the one between our ears. Yesterday, I shared with you the dangers of living in denial. Denial happens when one sees the evidences of something going on around them and then chooses to not believe the evidence, or they come up with a different conclusion or a conspiracy theory. Denial's best friend is someone called the exception clause. For example, there tends to be a huge mountain of evidence over a long period of time that smoking is harmful to your health. So many people do not smoke, but approximately 1 billion people in 2014, which was then 20% of the population of the world, are smokers. It is highly addictive, and it fills up your lungs with wonderful stuff like nicotine, which is the addictive drug that produces the effect people are looking for, and one of the harshest chemicals in tobacco smoke. However, did you know it also includes hydrogen cyanide? Cyanide, methinks that's not a good thing to put in your lungs. Formaldehyde, lead, arsenic, ammonia, radioactive elements such as uranium, benzene, and also, oh, by the way, carbon monoxide. This is where denial's friend, the exception clause, rises up and says, ah, but that's not going to harm you. You are special and you are not going to be harmfully affected by this tiny little bit of cyanide, lead, arsenic, and carbon monoxide that you're regularly putting into your lungs multiple times a day. Denial, exception clauses, rationalizations, and lies all seem to be your friend, but they're all liars and will tell you lies to keep you doing what you know you should not actually be doing. Here's some of the best ones that I've learned, and let's see if you've heard them as well. How about this one? I'm not really hurting anyone. Or, porn is better than actually being unfaithful to my wife. Or, you know, I've tried and I don't think I can really stop this behavior. It's impossible. Or, I must be the only one with this problem. Or, I really can quit if I really wanted to. You know, denial is trying to convince you that you do not really have a problem and that this behavior is normal. So stop worrying about it. all the while deeper and deeper into its cesspool you sink. And when you first saw porn, there was this immediate rush of dopamine in your brain that made you feel good, even though somewhere in your conscience there was a little alarm bell going off. Ding, 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 ding. However, the power of the forbidden fruit grasps us early in life, and we do not have the mental capacities at that age to deal with it. Our frontal lobes are not well enough formed to be able to think rationally about what we're doing, and we're automatically placed onto animal instinct mode as early waves of lust begin to develop. If you want to, you could probably get through years of nobody knowing you struggle with porn, lust, or masturbation. However, the longer you go, the deeper you go into your world of selfishness and become addicted to the very behavior that you actually loathe, and suddenly you learn you cannot live without it. My friends, all addictions are like this. You're going along all alone, feeling normal, and then some substance or action suddenly makes you feel really good. Then it wears off, and instead of feeling good when things are normal, you compare it to how good you felt under the influence, and normal no longer feels good enough. It may be a very gradual decline, but that's okay. Our enemy has the rest of your life to mess you up. However, some get hooked after only one sample. Eventually, in order to feel normal, you need to be using. The longer you go without porn, the worse you feel, and life begins to seem crazy. You long for release, a fix, something to make you feel good again. So you keep using more frequently, and living in your addiction for longer periods of time, you go from consuming your drug of choice to being consumed by your insatiable desires, right? I know, I lived that for over 8 years. Welcome to the world of addiction. And just so you know, that many say addiction to porn and sex is one of the most difficult addictions to stop. You ever wonder why that's true? Because there's no addictive behavior that releases such a powerful rush with so little effort. Right now, I could literally in 10 seconds be looking at any kind of porn I wanted to look at. I can look at porn almost anywhere in the world with my smartphone. I can get my rush, have my orgasm, and feel better for a little while at any time, anywhere, and in any day. And oh, by the way, it's all free. You know, I really grieve over the destruction that is happening around our world because of porn and sexual addiction, for the suffering of women and children at the hands of sex traffickers and porn makers, for the wives who are being wounded, the marriages being destroyed, and the families being blown up. Now let me just end with a few truths that I've learned along the way. One, a lone sheep is a dead sheep. You know that. A lone recovery will fail over and over again. Maybe you're learning that. Recovery is not perfection, but making progress. And recovery never happens in isolation, but it does happen in community. Listen, my friends, the 180 Ministries community of over 3,000 Christians seeking to help those addicted to porn and sex. And we want to create teams of people helping each other, because that's where community happens and recovery happens in community. It's worked for others, and it'll work for you. If you're interested, just send me an email and ask about our online support teams. This is John Doyle with 180 Podcasts. I love you, my friends. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. And we'll talk more tomorrow. Take care and goodbye.